The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Amen. In the Gospel according to St. John, there are many times that Jesus uses an I am statement. Sometimes he just says, I am. Chapter 4, when he's with the woman at the well, she says, well, I know there's a Messiah coming. And he says, ego eimi in Greek, I am. Now, in English, we've changed it to I am he because it's awkward for him to just say I am. But in Greek, he simply says, I am. And this, of course, brings the woman at the well who knows the Old Testament all the way back. She brings her, brings John, the writer of this gospel, brings us sitting here today back to a burning bush with Moses staring into it, dumbfounded, saying, you want me to go to Pharaoh and say what? And you want me to go to Pharaoh and say that he should let your people go, and I'm supposed to say, who sent me? I'm nobody. So who am I supposed to say sent me? And the Lord's voice in this burning bush says, tell him I am sent you. So Jesus knows exactly what he's doing when he uses the phrase ego eimi, which is the Greek, which would have been Hebrew, but anyway, so he knows what he's doing. He knows that her ears will perk up to hear the name of the Lord in this man at the well's mouth. And in our text today, Jesus uses that phrase again. But this time he completes the phrase. He, if you will, gives it a predicate, if you aren't too allergic to grammar rules. He gives it a predicate. I am blank. I am something. And so he says, I am the bread of life. It's the first time in John that he completes the statement, I am, that completes it with a predicate. I am the bread of life. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is I am. And he's going to be more specific because now he's a human walking the earth, and he gets to be more specific. It's as if he's saying, I am in these ways. I am God in these ways. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. And the very first way he describes who he is he tells them, I'm bread. Not just bread, but bread of life. Now everybody knows we need to eat, that we die without food, so it's a good thing that God is food. It's a good thing that Jesus is the bread of life. It's good news. God has always provided food for people and plants and animals. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and they were hungry, they woke up to a kind of flaky bread on the ground. They'd never seen it before. They didn't have a name for it. They called it manna. Something to eat in the middle of nowhere. And then Jesus, just a few verses ago, took a bit of bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples to feed more than 5,000 people on a hillside. He did that. And a few verses later, we're here today, where he's saying, I'm the bread of life. You thought I could just feed a meal to a lot of people? I'm so much more than that. Jesus is the bread of life, that which sustains us. When I talked to my dad about this text this week, immediately the first thing he thought about bread was, on the farm, my mom made bread every morning, he said. He said, the recipe was in her head, and it was perfect. And for a farm boy who'd spent the day harvesting to come into fresh bread and fresh butter and fresh jam, he said, certainly it was a glimpse of heaven. And then he told me he went away to college, and he had never seen a pizza before. And he discovered pizza, and he said, certainly it was my bread of life for years after that. Every people, every nation throughout time has had a bread that sustains them. Bagels or flatbread or pretzels or yeast breads or pita or crackers or tortillas or pizza dough. It's cheap to make, and it's simple, and it's in every household around the world that has bread. And those that do not have bread, we are to share ours with them. It's not just for the wealthy. Jesus is not the filet mignon of life. Jesus is not the caviar of life. Jesus is the bread of life. This bread of life, this sustainingness of Jesus is so far-reaching. Jesus is the release from whatever the problem is, whatever the hunger is. The pride, some of us hunger with pride. It can never be satiated. Some of us hunger with lust or addiction or envy. Any hunger that wells up inside you that is a distraction from your creation as a person of God and your mission on this planet, any hunger that wells up inside of you, Jesus is the release from that. Jesus is the bread of life. This week I heard someone say that it makes perfect sense that Jesus is the bread of life. It makes perfect sense that we were created in the image of God, the one who provides food, because that's what we do. When we see crisis, when we see celebration, when we want to participate in the holiness of someone's grief or a new birth or something like that, or a surgery and a fear, we bring food. We bring casseroles and desserts, and sometimes we even bring a big loaf of bread. We are created in the image of the God who is always providing. And so we are called from deep within to make that casserole and drive over to that house. And when Jesus says that he's the bread of life, do you hear at least two images there? At least two meanings. Jesus brings us life just as bread and food does. But Jesus gives his life in order to be our bread. In verse 51, he says, and the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is how Jesus brings us from the language of I am, that Jesus is God, into something more, if it is possible. Is it even possible to be more than God? No. But it is possible to be more concrete or to describe something better. More in the sense that God has always loved and always provided for God's people, but God has never shown up in the flesh and offered his life for us. God has never died for God's people before Jesus, the bread of life, is here. So God is God, and God is present in our lives, and God is the bread of life in so many ways. But we have as central to our lives, central to this space, central to our worship, this meal of bread and wine, the bread of life. And this is the way we receive Jesus each week. We are kneeling, and our hands are like beggars, and our hearts are cracked wide open with gratitude and love for the bread and the wine of life. Open hands, hearts, and mouths into which our Savior comes. It's astonishing that we every week can gather for this meal. Our Savior appears to us, is present with us with his life and his love and his sacrifice and his humility and his desperate desire and power to make all things new. Look at how this place is set up. I mean, we come here every week and we might not really pay that close attention. We gather in the semi-round here, so no one's in the very, very far back, and our seats are arranged around this space. I wish you could see what I get to see every week. I get to see you and these windows, which I don't know if you want to look at them. Maybe you looked at them a million times. Maybe you've walked past them a million times. But you are sitting at the foot of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit symbols. You are sitting at the foot of the Alpha and the Omega and a picture of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane making a decision about you. This is what I get to see every week. We are hemmed in by images and symbols of who Christ is and who the church is. We, in Sunday school today, Indigo and Julian and I came in and rang some of these life bells, these bells on these banners that we carry in on All Saints Day and just hang there the rest of the year. And we thought about the saints. And we looked at all of these symbols and the way that this place is set up. And I always place the baptismal font front and center so you can use it every week if you wish, to get a little wet and to remind yourself who and whose you are. And at least you have to walk past it to get here to the altar. And on this altar, look at it. It is a huge slab of stone. It is immovable. It is the center of our worship space. We have on it, we only place that which we offer to God. I have been asked at funerals and weddings to place flowers for decoration on the altar, and I always politely invite them to put them somewhere else. This is our space to give what we offer to God. And it is adorned with images of Christ. During the green season, the Pentecost season, we have bread and wine and the earthly elements from which they come, grapes, and this is wheat. And I got to say to my gluten-free friends, this last few weeks must have been kind of weird hearing that Jesus is the bread of life, and bread makes you sick. I'll tell you, it does not say that Jesus is the wheat of life. So if your bread or your gluten-free wafers are made of rice flour, Jesus is still the bread of life. The analogy does not fall apart for you. So we have these symbols and images adorning our space. We have a book brimming with prayers and praise and thanksgiving for who God is and what God has done through Jesus. And we have the elements. We have wine, sometimes a chalice, sometimes towers of cups. We have gluten-free wafers in here. And the flatbread will be brought forward with the financial offerings and raised to the cross and revered and brought forward as an offering. And we will pray a prayer of thanksgiving and offering of all those things that have been brought forward. And we have a shelf back here that Fred built for us that is really, many churches have it. It's an extension of the altar. It's a place for the elements, the bread and the wine or offering plates to be when they're not here. Sometimes I bring the kids up here, and I always remind them when we get to about right here that this is a very sacred space, and they may come in here. We all may come here, but this is a holy place where we only do a few things. We offer our offerings, and we celebrate the meal. And I always ask them to behave in a certain way, and they always do. And sometimes we place rice up here or pennies, but it's always an offering, and we always offer a prayer that God will do what God would want to do with our gifts. Sometimes we do place a flower here, but it's a flower of offering. It's one single flower to represent or symbolize a person that we offer to God that day. Sometimes it's a brand new baby or an adoption. Sometimes it's a brand new marriage that's holy and we're offering it to the Lord. Sometimes it's a baptism. Sometimes it's a brand new saint who has died. But it's not just a decoration, it's a symbol, it's an offering. And above all of this, suspended in the center of who we are and how we worship, is the cross of Christ. It's the heart of this place. It's the image of exactly how it was that Jesus gave his flesh to be our bread. And he is the bread which strengthens us in our convictions so that we can leave this table stronger and convicted that we really are people of God, strengthened by God and each other to go out and do the work of justice in the world. Jesus is the bread which brings us peace when we can't find it anywhere else. Jesus is the bread which brings God into ourselves. So thanks be to God for this place and these symbols and this meal that is a mystery and is ours to celebrate every week here. Thanks be to God who is Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Amen.